This is ABC Radio Hobart.
On air, online and via the ABC Listen app.
You're with Gary Magnuson.
Well, we've been talking about this one for a while. The Anglican Church announced earlier in the year it would sell off more than 100 properties, including churches and graveyards, to fund its contribution to the National Redress Scheme for Sexual Abuse Survivors. Well, over the weekend, there was a meeting of the Diocesan Council and the Appeals Panel, and as a result, about a third of those properties have been removed from the list. To find out more, we're joined by the Anglican Bishop of Tasmania, Richard Conde. Richard Conde, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Well, let's just begin with how you went about the process of removing those churches from the sales list. I understand you got 38 submissions when you went through those. How did you make the decision about which churches not to sell?
Yeah, so we published our criteria about how we would assess both parish submissions and community submissions. So we had two types of submission coming forward, those from the local congregation and those from the community. We had about 200 pieces of correspondence from the community. We had submissions on about 34 different properties by parish groups, 38 properties by community groups. We set up an expert panel that had an architect with rural experience and a couple of people from our diocesan council and a retired Anglican bishop from a rural diocese on the mainland who'd been involved in sustainability, and our probity advisor. And they went through each of those applications. They made a recommendation to the diocesan council. And on Saturday, we worked through all 107 properties and made a conscious decision about each one, about whether it would remain on the list or be removed according to the criteria that we'd put out.
So it was according to criteria, not according to money.
Yeah, well, one of the criteria was that if the local parish could either come up with the equivalent of 25% of the value of the property, or if they could find an alternate way of funding that, then that would be an automatic removal of the property from the list. So, in fact, I think in all bar one or two cases, that has been the situation, that those 34 properties that have been removed have come up with an alternate way of contributing to the redress fund, because that's been our primary purpose all along. And actually, making it only 25% of the proceeds of the sale that we needed has actually allowed local parishes the opportunity to do that, where they wouldn't have been able to raise 100% of the funds from their own savings or from the fundraising drives that we've heard about before.
Okay, you mentioned a couple of properties. The decision was made on a different basis. What were those?
Oh, I can't recall. I'm sorry. It's all a bit of a whirl in my head at the moment.
Yeah. Well, talking about the redress scheme, will there be a shortfall, or you've got the money now?
Well, look, we still haven't done the sums on what we decided on Saturday. So we worked all day on Saturday. We wanted to let our parishes know yesterday morning, and then obviously make a public statement about it. So part of the work this week is to work out actually how much that does yield, mm-hmm. and where we are, and then we'll have a subsequent meeting next week just to talk about how we fund any shortfall that we might still have on what we need.
Mm. To what extent were local parishes consulted during the process of deciding which churches to sell and which churches to take off the list?
Yeah, well, extensively. So we've been talking about this since April, as you said in your introduction. We've talked about this for a very long time. And people have been writing to me since April from parish and community groups. So the method we chose, because the National Redress Scheme has begun, we needed to act swiftly. So we put out the list of properties for sale, and immediately after the decision was made by our synod in June, we wrote to all the parishes and said, look, please tell us if we've got this right. Tell us if you can come up with an alternative way of raising these funds. And we've been receiving, in conversation with our parishes, receiving submissions from them ever since. And so that was a long period of 4 months from June till the 1st of till 1st of October. Maybe that's not 4 months anyway. I can't do the maths. But a long time. And people made their submissions to us. And we listened very carefully to them and listened very carefully to the community feedback. Obviously, there's been a lot of angst around cemeteries, and we've been thinking very hard about that as well and how to preserve those ongoing for Tasmania. We want to do that. We really want access for everybody to cemeteries, and so we've been trying to ensure that in the best way we can.
You're on ABC Radio Hobart and across Tasmania. We're talking to Bishop Richard Condy about the Anglican Church's sale of churches and graveyards and other property to raise, partially to raise money for the redress scheme. We'll be doing talkback shortly, but unfortunately, Bishop Condy needs to leave, so we will get some questions in first, Richard Condy. So, David Downey from Save Our Community Soul. Now, we asked firstly about the redress scheme. Will you fall short? Well, I guess you won't, because you'll still be selling properties, and people that have been taken off the list, most of them will be contributing the redress money anyhow.
Yes, that's right.
So David Downey from Save Our Community Soul says what the church is doing, though, is raising far more than what is needed for redress. So why do that is his question.
Yeah, so what we've been trying to do since the very beginning is share the load of collective responsibility across all parishes. And so we elected to take 25% of people's funds invested from previous property sales, and 25% of the proceeds, the net proceeds of sale of properties that the local churches now have determined a surplus to need. And so what will happen is that many parishes that have elected to not appeal the process, and there are 70-odd of them on the list, when those properties are sold, up to 65% of the proceeds of the sale will remain locally to sustain ministry in rural Tasmania. So what we've been trying to do is do a twin thing, raise the money for redress and ensure the sustainability of Anglican churches in rural Tasmania for the long term.
So given that you're only raising, say, a quarter of, you know, out of the funds, you'll raise there or thereabouts a quarter for redress, most of the money will be used for saving the church. So isn't this more about saving the church rather than redress?
Well, we wouldn't have been doing this on this scale had it not been for redress, and we needed to make sure that we had the funds to meet our obligations there. But at the same time, the alternative was, okay, just select a quarter of the number of buildings to sell and take 100% of them. In that case, parishes would not have been able to remove their properties from the list.
But you're going through a process of pick and choose anyhow. So why not do that? Why not put it out to consultation and say, look, we need to raise X amount of dollars. We've got these properties on the list.
Yes.
You know, these are the ones we've earmarked, and go through that process. Because effectively, isn't that what you're doing now?
That is exactly what we've done. We put out
a list. But you're selling more than you need to sell for redress.
Because local parishes have deemed them surplus to need, because what we're talking about is churches.
They haven't in the Southern Midlands, where they're talking about taking legal action, because you're talking about selling, or you are going to sell, 7 of their 9 churches.
Well,
so they're not giving them up freely.
The distinction is between what the community have said they would like and what local parishes would say they would like. If those churches were full of people, the people who are saying that they don't want them to be sold, if they were in those local churches, then those churches wouldn't be sold. What we're talking about are churches with congregations of 2, 3, and 4 people.
So what you're talking about is just getting rid of the churches that aren't being used and using some of that money for redress.
Yes, that's correct. And the rest of the money being used in the area. So if you think about the Midlands...
But again, it comes back to my point that really this exercise is about saving the church. That's what you're using the money for, to save the church.
Well, you can spin it that way if you like. That's fine.
Well, the church is spinning it with redress, with respect.
Well, what we're trying to do is do the twin things. and I've said this right from the very beginning, the twin things of raising money for redress and making sure that the Anglican Church is sustainable in rural Tasmania into the future. That does not mean that we will have a church in every village and a church building in every village and every town of Tasmania. We have a parish of the Southern Midlands that runs from Campbelltown south to Baghdad, and Oatlands south to Baghdad, might be Tunbridge actually. In that area, we will have probably one centre that is going to hopefully be a thriving centre to serve rural Tasmania in those local communities, but it'll be run out of the building, the physical building in Oatlands. That's what we're trying to do, so that we can actually serve those local communities. To serve those local communities, the local people who are in church every Sunday have said, we cannot sustain services when two or three people come. I don't have enough priests. I can't pay them to run those services. But if we can concentrate in those areas, then I actually can run services. I can have a minister for them to do the burials and so on in those facilities, which hopefully our desire is that those Anglican churches will be bought by the local people who've expressed their strong view that they want to see them kept in local hands, that they will purchase those and they'll be able to be used for church services and all kinds of other things in those local communities.
Okay, but plenty of comment coming through that the church doesn't own these churches. The community has donated land and paid many times over. That is, in fact, what Save Our Community Souls is saying. It should be up to parishes to make decisions.
And the parishes have made the decisions.
Well, no, not all of them have, because, again, we come back to the Southern Midlands, where they're talking about legal action because they're very unhappy that you're selling seven
of
their
the
nine
parishes.
Churches.
Not the parishes. The parish of the Southern Midlands is not taking legal action against the church.
Well, what about the argument that's being put that the church was, the land was donated and the church was built for the Anglican Church, not to be sold, not for that to be sold to the highest bidder?
Yeah, so I think what people have done when they've donated land to the church, they've given it to the church. When you share in the good history of the church, you also share in the bad history of the church. And we are trying to take collective responsibility for the very serious things that went wrong in the history of the Anglican Church in Tasmania,
but
collectively.
Again, you're talking about collectively, but it's a pick-and-choose exercise ultimately, isn't it? So why didn't you do pick-and-choose in the first place?
I don't understand the question.
Well, ultimately, you're picking and choosing what properties you're going to be selling. This is what many people don't understand.
No, we applied our criteria that all the properties that are on the list for sale have a model of ministry which is unsustainable in its current form. That means they cannot pay for a minister. What people want when they have a local Anglican church is to have services run in there so that they can have a minister who can bury them, baptise their kids, all of those, do their weddings, run their services Sunday by Sunday. When you don't have enough people in those places, it is impossible to run church like that. And so they were the properties. We didn't randomly pick properties to go on the list. We didn't persecute anyone. What we did was we looked at sustainability criteria, which were adopted by our synod in 2016 as the measures of sustainability. And we applied those criteria to the properties, and those were the ones who were on the list.
Okay. Have you decided to sell properties other than churches?
Oh, yes, yeah, there are a number of other properties amongst the list. I think of the 77 properties to be sold, 51 of them are churches.
Okay. And do you have other property that, do you still have other properties that aren't churches on your books?
Oh, yes, we do, yeah. Rectories, so where our ministers live, halls. I don't think
housing?
After this there'll be any vacant land. There are a couple of commercial properties which are owned as investments by the Diocese of Tasmania that provide an income stream to actually allow ministry to happen. So ministry in rural Tasmania is subsidised by the income from those properties that allows the ministry to continue.
Okay, so. I know we've got to let you go, and we will be taking your talk back if you're listening and want to call. 1-300-222-936 is the number. So how at the end of the day, how damaging has this been to your church and the Anglican brand, because it has been, I think it described somewhere, as a fierce fight, a fierce fight.
Yes, it was described as a fierce fight in the paper this morning. I think that's actually a mischaracterisation of actually what happened at the weekend. It was actually quite a rational process of going through assessing each property by property. But if people want to characterise it that way, look,
so
I don't know. I don't know where the brand Anglican is at in some people's minds. It's not very high. I understand that. I can tell you that survivor groups of child sexual abuse have been contacting me right through this process saying, thank you, at last the Anglican Church is standing up to do what it should do in actually making sure that people are funded for it. So they're actually the people I'm most interested, whose view I'm most interested in this.
Look, I don't think anybody, majority I've heard nobody disagree with that.
Yeah,
and the process, everybody, some people, you know, are incredibly upset still by the process.
Sure. No,
the process
I totally understand that.
Of pick and choose and raising way more money than what you need
for it. I'm not quite sure what you mean by pick and choose. You keep saying pick and choose, and I don't actually know what you're intending
okay,
by.
Okay, well, let's just boil it down to the fact that you're raising way more money than is required for redress in order to save the church. That's what it comes down to ultimately.
What I've said from the very beginning is we're trying to do two things. Make sure that we fund redress and make sure that we don't sink the Diocese of Tasmania and the Anglican ministry in the state. If we had done nothing about this, if we had done nothing about this, the National Redress Scheme would have started, the bills would have been coming in, and we would have been forced into a corner of having to not actually take proactive action about how to meet our obligation. Look, even the state government are doing this. They're selling assets to make sure that they have the funds to do what they're doing.
Yeah, we understand that.
We're all doing the same thing.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think we on that, it'll be interesting to see if you include that second, because you say you've been saying it all along. Today is the first day I've really heard you press the point that you're actually trying to save the church.
Been saying it
because
for 6
normally,
months.
It's all we seem to hear is about the redress scheme and not the majority of the funds, which are for saving the church.
Well, we've been saying it for 6 months. In every radio interview I've done, every press interview I've done for 6 months, I've said that the balance of the money, 25% going to redress, the balance of the money, 65% of it going back into local ministry in local parishes in Tasmania to make sure they're there for the long term, 10% of it going into the new ministry development fund, which helps us put ministers in places that can't afford them.
Mm. Okay, look, I know we've got to let you go, but thanks very much for your time.
Thanks, Gary.
As always,
for your time.
Thanks for making yourself available throughout this process, because it has been, I imagine, very difficult for yourself. It's certainly been very difficult for your parishioners based on the number of texts we're getting and that we have got every time that we talk to you.
Great. Thanks for your time.